From a warm spot in the cockles of my heart, in the darkest recesses of my mind, it's Jockulation with your host, LB Faust. Jockulation is an interactive social broadcast hosted by the cultural attaché to the SARS and ringmaster of the shit show himself, LB Faust. It features original satire, comedy, punk rock, and humorous bits every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Jockulation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. Due to copyright restrictions, all segments which feature music from other artists and performers have been removed from this recording. On with the show.
All right, kids, as always, it's Friday night. You know what that means? Hide your fucking whiskey because LP's come back to town. Yeah, where have I been? Jesus Christ, man, a lot of stuff happening. By the way, hi, Darcyrco. A lot of stuff happening. So let's see. What happened this week? We had Jockulation, the podcast, featured on Instagram, actually, through Aureal's Instagram thingamajiggy identity, whatever the fuck you want to call it out there. And so what's happened? LP's become big in India, so you know what? I got to start catching up. Hi, Ron. I got to start catching up with all the bestest Bollywood films and shit like that. Otherwise, I'm going to like be behind the times and shit. And so where was LP last week? Well, like I said, it was my son's birthday. And guess what he got for birthday? Well, maybe a case of COVID because... Hey, listen, let me just say this much, all right? If that's in fact the case, quarantine's going to be great for me because I'll actually have time to do something that isn't working is actually Jockulation. And everybody loves that one, right? But outside of that, what happens? Hey, Water Fairy Dance just turned 10 today. And I'm asking myself, dude, I got lots of shit going on. It's like, what's going on over here? Yeah, when doesn't Aureal feature Jockulation? Hey, let me just go ahead and say this, Joe. I don't know. All I can say is, hey, I guess I got a good show for people in India that don't want to go ahead and listen to, I don't know, like evangelists and people sitting there talking about their sutras and shit like that. What do you want me to say, man? There's a very big need for satire and dick jokes in India. I mean, can we all go ahead and agree with that at least? Oreo loves Jockulation. Well, outside of that, what else has been going on? Just far too much. But, you know, I wound up going ahead and sitting there watching Muppet Haunted Mansion with the kids. And I know what you're asking yourself. LP, why on earth would you go ahead and do that? Well, the kids went ahead and said, hey, let me tell you something. I need you to go ahead and come over here and spend a little time with me. And I said, all right, man, whatever. So as I'm sitting there going ahead and watching Muppet Haunted Mansion, it's like a ride through the Haunted Mansion, right, over in Disney World. But more importantly, as I was sitting there watching that, I'm thinking to myself, what does one do after the world of, like, professional puppeteering comes to an end? And, I mean, these are, like, the life questions that we've got to go ahead and ask ourselves at these very, like, important moments in our life. You know what I'm saying? I'm just like...
Did I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
Important philosophical questions a person must be sure to ask himself. So, naturally, it led me down the rabbit hole to ask that question and, I don't know, chase up a Vice article that actually let us know exactly what happens when the world of puppeteering comes to an end. Such as the instance that the dude who played Barney the Dinosaur, well, what did he do after he quit? Well, now he's running a tantric sex business, and I'm just sitting there saying, dude.
I mean, what the fuck?
Bro, getting tantric sex from fucking Barney the Dinosaur should be interesting. Well, according to the article, it's a tad different than his work for as a software analyst at Texas Instruments, but Joyner says his current work in Tantra does share many similarities with another job he held from 1991 to 2001, that of Barney, the beloved purple dinosaur on the hit PBS children's show Barney and Friends. I mean, hey, listen.
I mean, what the fuck?
The energy I brought up while in costume is based upon the foundations of Tantra, which is love. Everything stems, grows, and evolves from love. Even when you have emotionally backed energy, the best way to remove it is to remove it with love and then replace it with God's divine love. Love heals and allows you to continue to grow. You know what I'm saying
there?
So you're probably asking yourself, I mean, really, dude, You were Barney, and now you're sitting here effectively going around and fucking everything that moves in a tantric fashion? I mean, dude, how much do you actually get away with? Well, apparently a full session with our friend here, who is a massage specialist and a spiritual healer, lasts 3 to 4 hours and costs $350. And then you've got to ask yourself, dude, hey, Carlos, do we think for a second that anybody's going to go ahead and fucking pay $350 this thing?
No.
No, but apparently he's got, like, rave reviews, right? His website contains, you know, several goddess testimonials. You know what I'm saying. Sock puppet accounts, right? Each more breathless than last in its effusive praise of Joyner and the benefits of sessions with him. Hey, I got a question, Julia. Do you think he engages in orgasmic meditation? I'm kind of curious if he's a practitioner of that. I've got to take a look and see if it's in his recipe book there. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, Joyner says that before or during his initial consultation with a client, if he feels they're not ready for or can't handle the spiritual experience, they're looking for just a physical release, he won't take them on. And do we believe that for a fucking second?
How about no?
Of course not. Yeah, he's not going to take on free sex over here. Or actually, he's not going to be a fucking paid gigolo. You know what I'm saying? Is there a single guy out there that would sit there and say, you know, I'm not feeling the spiritual vibe here. I'm just saying.
How about no?
Fuck no, man. But more importantly, is it just like me? Or does, like, anyone else get this, like, strange pedo vibe from the tantric Barney the Dinosaur interview? I mean, like, I'm just kind of waiting for the next article to come out when all the former Wiggles actors, you know, child actors, start talking about how they're opening up a fucking swing club or something like that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, shit, dude. Let's be real here. Women only? He's clearly a homophobe, right? I mean, even fucking male professional cuddlers pimp their sweaty, no-homo man cuddles with a complimentary back shave and eyebrow waxing to other dudes. But what? Barney the fucking tantric pimp over here can't do it? I mean, get fucking real. I got an idea for you, fellas. This freaking homophobe over here, save yourself the $350, and I'll tell you what you could do. Just go ahead and catch up with, like, Qua over here, and maybe what we could do is instead of paying that $350, I mean, and sitting there inside that, like, non-inclusive atmosphere of homophobia and judging just because you happen to be a penis owner. I mean, shit, Vice got down to going ahead and explaining how you can give yourself a prostate milking. Why not just go ahead and do that and save the fucking $350? And, I mean, there you go, man. You're happy all around. You got your prostate milked. You went ahead and saved $350. End results the same, but better. You've got more money to go ahead and do other things. I mean, there you go. Exactly, Jason. Exactly. It's a penis owner because all that gendered language can't be happening over here in this day and age of fucking inclusiveness, because otherwise, you know, we're going to go ahead and get people that are going to be very upset, you know.
How dare you?
When they're listening to the podcast a little bit later. So as I'm sitting watching this shit, all of a sudden, by the way, hey there, Jason. Long time no see is correct. Penis owner is correct. As I'm sitting here watching this, my wife and I decided to, we're kind of sitting at the TV, and she had enough of Muppet freaking Haunted Mansion over there, and she decides, hey, I got a great idea. Let's go watch some Holiday Baking Challenge because that's so fucking exciting. You know what I'm saying?
How about no?
That's right. But she's watching that on Discovery Plus, and of course, someone simply had to spam the living shit out of the experience. And who better to fuck up the watching experience than Condé Nast? You know what I'm saying? Up pops his fucking advertisement for the Hilton Hotels for the fall travel season. And you know something? When I think, like, Thanksgiving celebration, nothing quite captures the essence of it rather than, like, a commercial that says, I'd rather be anywhere else than near you for the holidays and ditching the family you spend every other day of the year avoiding. You know what I'm saying? Something like that says holiday to me, and I'm like, wow, that's just fucking awesome. But the thing that kind of gets me about this, people who say you're hard to shop for don't know where to buy a beer. You know something, Darcico? All I can tell you is you have no idea how appropriate that is at the moment because I believe, much like Gray, we share November birthdays, kind of like Sun, who shares the same day of birth that I have over in November. And guess what I'm hearing a lot of? Dude, you're really hard to buy for. And I'm just like, I think I make it pretty fucking easy, but that's okay. I'll go ahead and I'll send you some gift ideas courtesy of the local liquor store down the street. I'm sure they'll go ahead and take care of me just right. You know what I'm talking about? But that being said, I happen to notice that, like, Condé Nast, they're always, the fucking publication is always sitting over there going ahead and creating this, like, you know, ad campaign around these, air quotes, exotic locations. You know, that's like that phrase right there, it's code for you live in an absolute shithole, pleb. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like very non-inclusive in today's day and age. It's just very, you know.
How dare you?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And of course, the ads are all targeting the most non-authentic experiences you could possibly imagine. Like, hey, how about we go up to the swim-up bar with all the fucking hotties and everything like that? Which, I mean, let me ask you a question. How many swim-up bars in how many different locations have half as many people in fucking bikinis that should be in bikinis? I mean, you know what I'm saying there?
How dare you?
It's one of those things where it's not really true. It's just not really true. I never see anything that's got any real truth in advertising. You know what I'm talking about, like the pasty white fatties and Speedos with their freaking moose knuckles showing, maybe one of their testicles hanging out the side, going ahead and kind of like looking sort of like this, you know, albino whale swimming up to the bar and resting that gut on their freaking, on the stool next to them as they're hammering down a few more cocktails. That, to me, says authenticious. You know what I'm talking about? And I mean, don't sit here and hit me with this, hey, dude, you're going ahead and taking these shots at fat people. Bro, it takes one to know one, all right? Let me tell you something. You can't go ahead and insult somebody that basically covers your demographic there. You know what I'm saying, kids? I mean, shit. And of course, you know, when we're sitting here looking at this kind of shit, yeah, exactly, it is all over beach there. Oh, damn, Gray, back in the days. I'm glad to say that I don't go over there. And the best part about all over beach is a portion of that beach is like a nude beach. So I'm sure there's like shitloads of, like, I don't know, pasty white Canadians that aren't exactly athletic. You know what I'm saying? They're like nine that aren't athletic and just kind of go ahead and smear on the suntan lotion. Make sure to go find somebody to help them just put a little bit on their junk, and there you go, right? But what I'm thinking to myself is, I'm like, you're talking about people going over to your place in this age of the fucking great resignation. I mean, is it possible that it might be, you know, like, properly staffed and it's going to be everything that you're
How
hoping for?
How about new?
Of course not, man. Of course not, right? But I'll tell you what, this gives an opportunity to happen, right? I suppose what could happen, like Hilton, you go over there, nobody's there because everybody's resigned. Kind of like what happens at the McDonald's, right? Because nobody wants to put up with their shit. I'm thinking that this really gives Hilton a chance to go ahead and become historic, right? I suppose they could just, like, dig a few tunnels to get the illegal workers they need to bring over, you know, to cover all those jobs anyways. And in the process, Hilton could, like, become the modern-day Harriet Tubman and run the COVID Underground Railroad. You know what I'm talking about? And they could have a whole section in their museum about how they fought the man, wanted to go ahead and bring everybody over to make sure that vacations were experienced by all, right? That's what I'm thinking is the freaking opportunity here. I mean, think about it. You walk inside there, right? And what kind of features do they go ahead and feature? Oh, look, we've got a great big freaking continental breakfast over here. Let's be real, right? When you're looking at a continental breakfast and that's your call of, hey, check out all the wonderful amenities I got. Dude, that just is basically like saying, hey, check out this 7-Eleven lobby that we got over here. Help yourself to the Salmonella special under the sun lamp. It's only been there like about 3 or 4 days. You know what I'm saying? We're very green. We recycle the shit that nobody eats or the half-eaten stuff. And you too can get some. I mean, we could even go ahead and sit there and make it really authenticious over in the corner of the little, like, continental breakfast bar. And we could just get Hank Azaria to sit there. And since he's so offended and so hurt and so ready to fall on his sword about playing the part of a poo as far as the voice goes, I'll tell you what, man. Why not go ahead and just have him in the corner chained up, sitting there, and actually, like, be the 7-Eleven operator for penance for all the shit he did when he was using when he was creating the voice of Apu, and he could just go ahead and actually service you in the voice of Apu. That way, he can go ahead and give up all of his white guilt and not feel so terrible about himself in the corner over there. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, let's be real. This shit's more like a prison commissary, right? Usually continental breakfast consists of stale bagels and cereal. I don't know. You could get some exotic shit. But if you stop and think about it, what you could do is it really feels more like a prison commissary. In fact, the whole experience, when you think about it, it's almost like being in a prison. You sit inside your little room. All you got is, like, maybe some entertainment, which is a TV. Perhaps, you know, blinds that open up and you can see the building next to you. And then you've got your, like, bed sitting over there, which has got, like, quilts that they recycled from the 1970s. And, like, shag carpet that was stolen from your grandmother's house. You know what I'm saying? So it's very much like a prison experience. You go through rotations. You only walk the halls when you have to leave the building, like go to prison yard or something like that, right? It never is a situation where you're actually, like, enjoying the experience. It's like you're not really going for a massage. Like, when was the last time that you actually got a massage? And I'm not counting hand jobs, guys. I'm saying, like, a legitimate massage over inside of, like, a Motel 6. I mean, does some shit like that ever happen in your life? I'm just like,
How about new?
So instead, why not just go ahead and relive that experience? Why not just go down to the Continental, like, breakfast? And it could be like a prison commissary. You could smuggle your toothbrush, your soap, and your breakfast burrito in your ass and just, like, take it back to your room, shit it out, and it'll be just like you're a fucking drug mule. It'll be the most authentic experience you could ever imagine. And you know something, when you're engaging in some behavior like that, where you're going to go ahead and smuggle your burrito to keep it warm inside of your ass, fellas, one thing that I got to go ahead and say is just be very careful, okay, what you're trying to smuggle and how you're going to go about doing it. Because you never know, in this day and age, you could find yourself in a very unfortunate situation, much like this teen who got a USB cable stuck in his penis. And, you know, it kind of backfired when he was trying to go ahead and measure the length of his dick. You know what I'm saying?
What the fuck?
So apparently, according to our article here, the UK teen, he had to undergo emergency surgery after a bananas attempt to measure his manhood, and it resulted in him getting a USB cable lodged inside of his urethra. I mean, let's just stop
there. What the fuck?
Who the fuck looks at their dick going, you know what? I think the best way to go ahead and measure this guy, to go ahead and, like, post up whatever on, like, freaking Instagram or whatnot, I think the best way to check this shit out is to, you know, jam in a USB cable and, like, mark it off, kind of like, you know, a riverboat going down the fucking river is trying to mark Twain. You know what I'm saying? I mean, holy fucking shit.
How dare you?
I like that. Julia's like, now, that's, like, the least intuitive way to do it. That's what I would have figured, right? Whatever happened to the good old days of a ruler? At any rate, this fiasco reportedly began after an unnamed 15-year-old boy was triggered by sexual curiosity and inserted a USB wire into his urethra. Now, let me ask you a question, guys. When you're triggered by sexual curiosity, usually it ends in masturbation. Who in the fuck decides that they're going to go ahead and actually jam a USB cable into their fucking dick? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, what the fuck?
But let's go, but I digress. Let's continue here. So the cable itself became lodged in the curious teen's scrotum, like an electronic catheter. Despite attempts to extract it himself, the USB cord became tangled so terribly that both ends were left hanging out. And I'm just
what the fuck?
How in the fuck do you have both ends of the USB cable hanging out of your dick after you went ahead, like a plumber with a snake, shoved that bad boy down into your urethra, into your scrotum, and somehow it doubled back and came out? Bro, let me tell you, I think that something like
that
really needs to be on, like, Penn and Teller show. You know which one I'm talking about? The one where they're trying to figure out whether or not a person, a fool me, I think it's called. That would be the fucking greatest. But then again, subsequent x-rays revealed there was a veritable Gordian knot of USB wire inside the teenager, which required surgeons to make an incision in the region between his genitals and his anus, and why didn't they just call it the fucking taint, and to yank it out. And they pulled the spooled end through the hole first, cutting it free from the rest of the wire before removing the remaining bits, literally pulling the plug.
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, a moment of silence for that. Holy fucking shit. You basically went ahead and had this dude pass the equivalent of a kidney stone. Son, just keep peeing it out. Pee it out. That's it. Keep pushing. Keep pushing. And I'm just like, man.
I mean, what the fuck?
But one of the things that kind of gets me is, like, when you're sitting here taking a look at all of these silly-ass, like, hotels that are out there trying to get people to come over, It's all these fucking crazy, weird, obscure videos and ads they're putting out there, right? I mean, let's be real. What the fuck is up with, medical term is perineum? Hey, Ron, just call it the taint. You know? Maybe what he could do is just go over there. I mean, his therapy afterwards could be, hey, go out there like what Swoop does. Just spread your legs in your taint and make sure to get enough vitamin D that way, because there's no way that you could get the vitamin D to cure yourself through your skin standing in the sun. Right? I mean, I wish sometimes Swoop was here. You know what I'm saying? But is Swoop ever coming back? I mean, it's just like...
No.
Probably not. But at any rate, now these hotels are so desperate for business. What the fuck is this obsession with these, like, obscure fucking videos with narration that goes in there, right? It's usually, like, a bunch of, like, linked together kind of, like, scenes with some music playing in the background and, like, you know... The narrator who's narrating, and either sounds like he's negotiating to defuse a hostage situation, or he's trying to get a blowjob on the sly while on the phone catching up with grandma. You know what I'm saying there? It's those kinds of things that come across.
How dare you?
There'll be weird shit. You'll see some kid eating an ice cream cone. Then you'll see some seals fucking in the harbor in front of a sunset. And then it'll fade to black, and it'll be, Hilton, don't you need time away? And it's one of those things that just the trend between around that is a little fucking weird. And now they've looped in a whole bunch of influencers, air quotes, right, to go ahead and do this stuff. So now instead of some, you know, like person that you've never heard of, you could go over to your local like, YouTube influencer, whatever. And they'll create one of these weird fucking things. It's like you see a bat, like you see a can of Crisco, some plastic that's spread out. Sprawled across the beach with a beautiful sunset and like a 6-foot dildo, and it's like, break time has come, wouldn't you say, Hilton? Shit like that. I'm wondering what the hell is going on with this, right? And of course, not only am I wondering that, I'm wondering when are the truly authentic exotic locations going to come around that people are going to pimp? You know which ones I'm talking about, right? Like the Motel 6 next to the state penitentiary. I mean, come on, man. What's more authentic than, like, experiencing a carjacking after running into a drug mule, shoving a kilo of cocaine up their ass right outside the visitation of in the prison yard? You know what I'm saying? Something like that actually screams to me, hey, this is authentic. But instead, what do? They sit here and they start talking about all the fucking fantastic accessories to the room they got. You know, hey, check out our view. You mean of the next building? Yeah, check out our view. Isn't it beautiful? No, it's not. So, of course, what winds up happening? Now, everything is about an experience. So, like, for instance, the boutique hotel that's over here in Colorado that I was looking at has an entire Mario room complete with a Donkey Kong video game system and all of that shit. Well, some hotels are just going a little bit further, and now it's not necessarily about the room. It's about the accessories in the room. So, for instance, things like this Philips clock, which is ridiculed as a sex toy and looks more like, I don't know, a sex toy that's supple and plump. So apparently the Philips Smart Sleep and Wake Up Light features a hole in the middle of the design, prompting numerous users on social media to wonder what the hole is for and the reasons behind the design. In fact, numerous customers asked if it had a vibrate function, and others asked if it was okay to put lube on it. So,
I mean, what the fuck?
I mean, it's a flesh tone light after all, right? Who goes ahead first and makes a flesh tone clock? And secondly, what in the fuck? It's a flesh tone clock. Got a hole in the middle for. Yeah. So one of the greatest comments was, never before have I seen such a supple and plump alarm clock. Why did Philips make it look so slick, squishy, and in heat?
I mean, what the fuck?
Oh, my God. So, yeah, of course, you know, when you go over into your room, you're greeted with that fantastic, like, accessory. And then, of course, whenever you're going to go into one of these places and you're going to do a trip like this and you're going to try and be an influencer, it's always got to be about some exotic event that you go to. It's like, check out this fucking wine tasting that I went to, right? Check out this beautiful and incredible, like, dinner by the bay that I went to. Look at these badass concert tickets because I'm a fucking boss. But let's be real, man. Those aren't the events that we want to go ahead and see. You want to know the kind of events I'd like to see the influencers go to? Like maybe this event over in India where revelers sling animal shit at each other at a packed annual cow poo festival. That's right,
How
kids.
How dare you?
What is better than going to an event where you can throw cow shit at each other, cover yourself head to toe, and say, wow, that was a great time. The event starts in the afternoon when the locals visited surrounding homes to collect cow shit, ready to throw snowball-sized piles of shit at each other. After the manure is dumped, the men and the boys prepare for the festival, which is reportedly more than 100 years old because culture. You know what I'm saying? Oh, no, that needs a nearly dead Ric Flair. That's what I'm saying.
Woo!
And you're probably asking yourself, but LP, what about this day and age of COVID where everybody can go and get sick and die, right? Well, a lot of fans believe at this festival that using cow urine will prevent and cure coronavirus and other illnesses. And I'm just, dude.
I mean, what the fuck?
But they seem to forget that it's only if you inject it into your fucking eyeballs. I mean, just going ahead and getting peed on isn't enough, the last I checked. But just think about it, right? Most Scheiser videos that you've got coming out of, like, the foreign section in your local porn shop, and, like, epic Academy Award-winning films such as Two Girls, One Cup, these people went and paid talent. Yeah, this is that clock double as a hemorrhoid cushion. You know, I'm not even going to touch that one, Gray. They went ahead and paid talent when all they really need to do is for like half the price, they could have just taken a quick trip to India and just filmed the Scheiser video, cut a few pieces, put it all together, few model releases, bang, instant fucking credit and instant profit. You know what I'm saying? They're working too hard. And, I mean, that's the kind of truly exotic and authenticious shit we're looking for. Not these Condé Nast nonsense places. Or, you know, most of the hotels that you see and the most of the influencers are putting up there, it's all these exotic meals. Oh, check out my tapioca pearls inside of this, like, you know, beautiful broth and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, they're taking food porn pictures. And food porn, of course, is one of the greatest trending things. Well, I'll tell you what, right? The kind of exotic location I'm thinking about, it should go ahead and have the kind of food that's kind of like, I don't know, how this like elderly couple was raving about how delicious this pate was that turned out to just be cat food. I mean, that to me says authenticious, because hasn't everybody mistaken cat food for freaking...
I mean, what the fuck?
Oh, God, man. That to me would be an awesome freaking thing, but... More to the point, right? The kind of thing you want, you get all these celebrity chefs and shit like that. Well, I'll tell you what. TikTok nowadays, these are the places that you need to go to find the chefs of the future and the talent that's out there. You know what I'm talking about. So, for instance, when you go over to TikTok, Gordon Ramsay's got a whole thing about, you know, shitbagging all over a bunch of chefs and all that stuff. Well, the best part is when you can get a guy, considering you're next to the Motel 6, next to the state pen, you're probably going to have a McDonald's nearby. Well, this dude went ahead and he hacked a McDonald's meal and turned it into a beef Wellington and mashed potatoes. And I'm sitting there saying, dude, that's the chef you need over in your shithole Motel 6 to go ahead and create stuff. So apparently on August 4th, this chef, Kim, went ahead and shared a TikTok video of his friend making a McDonald's Wellington creation. So what he did was he took a quarter pounder with cheese and a side of fries and turned it into a beef Wellington. How did he do it? Well, first thing he did was LP went ahead and missed a whole section of this. He took two quarter pounder cheese patties, removed the buns, put them together, and put them inside a beautiful flaky crust. Then he took milk, cream, garlic, and bay leaf and went and made them the mashed potatoes. He then steeped the fries in the liquid before blending it all together and pushing it through a sieve. And then he made a gravy using beef stock, butter, and the pickles and onions from the burger. I'm going to stop there. Who in the fuck makes gravy with pickles? I mean, is it just me? I can't even imagine what that must taste like, except maybe absolute ass. Hey, listen, you might be a little chef over on TikTok, but let's get something straight. Pickles and gravy, that can't happen. You know what I'm saying?
Did I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
I mean, what the fuck is that? Some terrible version of poutine? Pickle gravy is great. Yeah, you know something, Ron. I hear pickle juice is great, too. But I ain't going to fucking do it. There's that one comedian that's like, man, I'm too poor for pickles. So what I do is I got like a buffer of pickle juice. I got like 6 jars in there. So now I just sprinkle the pickle juice on my ham and cheese instead of buying pickles. And I'm like, that's a chef hack. Doing this shit, not so much. But Kim has also effectively started hacking meals from Popeyes, KFC, and Taco Bell. Dude, let me tell you something. If you're next to the state pen, you're going to have a Popeyes within 5 seconds of wherever it is you're at. So I'm interested to find out what sort of... You use your pickle juice on salad? Because you're special, Julia. I mean, who in the hell uses the extra pickle juice? I don't. But I guess it's just vinegar, right? Pretty much. And of course, when you're going over to the McD's to get yourself something, part of the whole experience of going to a place is making sure, hey, I got to get some souvenirs to remember the occasion, right? Well, I mean, shit, if you're going next door to the fucking Mickey D's, you can go ahead and grab some souvenirs for free because apparently people are now putting like rare plastic McDonald's straws on eBay for like thousands of dollars. And I'm just
what the fuck?
I'm like, dude, I got to raid the local McDonald's. So at McDonald's, their iconic white, yellow, and red plastic straws are going the way of the dinosaur as the company continues to make the change to paper straws at locations all over the world. And of course, now there are people out there hoarding the plastic McDonald's straws and trying to sell them as collector's items on eBay to nostalgic bidders for some, in some cases, thousands of dollars. Let me just say this, man.
I mean, what the fuck?
Why do that when you could just make an NFT of these stupid fucking straws? You know what I'm saying there? I mean, hey, listen. Wrong drop there, LP.
I like money.
There we go. So, I mean, shit. I got to go over at the local McDonald's, which I haven't been to in, like, ages, and actually put a hurting on those straws. Make sure to grab some of them and start, like, posting them up over here. Maybe I'll make NFTs of them or something. But at any rate, I digress here, right? So there's people out there. So in the instance of one particular one, there's a listing here. Brand new McDonald's plastic straw. Condition is brand new as it's never been opened. So you can be sure that it's safe to drink from. All proceeds of this auction will be going towards buying GameStop shares to help my fellow Reddit Wall Street bets destroy the hedge fund Melvins. Keep holding. Don't give the Melvins the satisfaction of victory. We're going to the moon.
Woo!
What is awesome about that is, dude, all that money I'm getting for this scam item that you're getting, I'm going to go buy a meme stock and try and bankrupt the fucking Melvins. And I'm just like, bro, where do I sign up, right? All right, kids, this is LP Files. I got to take a break here. We're going to do things a little bit differently tonight. Because of the fact that we got, you know, High Fest going on, we're going to probably be a little bit more music intensive tonight. So, hey, man, sit back and enjoy or see you later and I'll catch you next week, one or the other. But for those of you that are going to hang out, I'm LP Files. I'm your host. Cultural Attaché of the Stars, remaster of the shit show this evening. You're listening to Joculation. Hey, kids, it's LP Faust. It's Friday, and you know what? Is anything really going ahead? All of a sudden, it's like everybody, I got shit flashing in and out. Everything's wonderful. I'm probably going to have to reboot. Who the hell knows? Hopefully, it's going to be after the show. You know what I'm saying? But I'll tell you what, the Circle of Intimacy is alive and well, I'm seeing.
One of us, okay? That's one of us. Google gobble, one of us. We accept that one of us. Google gobble, one of us. We accept that one of us.
Despite the fact that High Fest is going on and, like, you know, there's a bunch of people probably saying High Fest, dude,
I mean, what the fuck?
They probably don't know when they're listening to the actual, like, podcast. But I'll tell you what, the reality of the situation is High Fest is going on, and since most of the audience actually happens to be either, like, not here anymore or over at High Fest, that seems to be the big distraction of the day. But I'll tell you what, the most wonderful thing about living in the world of cryptocurrency has to be the fact that you might have bought into a shitcoin, I don't know, ages ago, and eventually it gets so low you've got nothing to lose. So it's like, you know, change that falls between the couch cushion seats, right? And then all of a sudden one day something big happens, whether it's a pump because the crypto markets have come back alive, or they actually start to realize some success and start to realize there's stuff, suddenly you lift up that couch cushion. The next thing you know, boom, there's a Lambo inside of there. And you're just kind of like, bro.
I mean, hey, what the fuck?
But in a really good way, right? Well, that's going on with LP right now. It's a fantastic feeling and it's wonderful. Hey, listen, kids, those of you that are not into crypto, I'll tell you what. It's the bestest thing in the world. So PSA, if you're listening and you don't know what crypto is, get a clue, get a wallet, get rich. You know what I'm saying there? Not investing
Did
advice.
I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
This is not investing advice. Because I don't want to pull a Craig Grant. You know what I'm like? Hey, BitConnect, you know what I'm saying?
That's a scam.
Yeah, I know, I know. Sorry, kids. We're back. Friday night. You know how it goes. We're going to go a little bit slower here, maybe. I don't know. We'll have to see. But all that talk about vacationing and things, it started to make me think about what vacationing's all about. Generally speaking, like before you have kids, vacationing's about having fun, going ahead, doing irresponsible shit, and, you know, moving on with life and going back and having some incriminating evidence to share with your friends. You know, you never know what it could be. It could be that girl that you meet over at the beach, that dude that you meet at the bar. You could go ahead and stare into each other's eyes. Next thing you know, you could be sitting there going ahead and having sex and all having all kinds of wonderful stuff. Or, much like this priest or this ex-bishop, you could fall for a satanic porn writer and you could now work impregnating pigs. You know what I'm saying there?
I mean, what the fuck?
So, yeah, you're probably asking yourself, what the hell? So, apparently, an excommunicated former bishop resigned after falling in love with a satanic porn writer. Well, now he works as artificially inseminating pigs as his new career.
I mean, what the fuck?
So Javier Noval stepped down from his senior clergy post in September after The Exorcist fell for a Satan-themed erotica author. Let's just stop right there, right? He was an exorcist. I mean, where the fuck is Normock when you have a story like this? I'm wondering if this guy just didn't make it down to South Africa to get farted on and been imbued with the Holy Spirit, you know, like right up the nostrils. But let's continue. So the Spanish bishop was a student of demonology, but the church colleagues were convinced that he was himself possessed after giving into temptation and abandoning his vow of celibacy. So he's been participating in gay conversion therapy, of course. And of course, beyond that, life moved on. So it's like, what do you do after that? Kind of like, hey, what do you do when the puppeteering career is over? Well, we found out that the puppeteer that was doing Barney, the friendly dinosaur over there, went into tantric sex. I mean, this ex-bishop now works exporting pig semen, artificially inseminating pigs, and even personally masturbating them, according to local reports. Because, dude.
I mean, what the fuck?
Or more importantly.
How dare you?
The employer, Semen Cardona, specializes in the artificial insemination of pigs in Spain and overseas. And he allegedly plays a direct role in the procedure. We will get particularly close to the animals to help them produce the semen. And, I mean, this kind of has like an overtone of strange, weird bestiality. And, I mean, when you're sitting there jerking pigs off so that you can get some semen, it comes very close to what was going on at the end of Clerks 2 with the donkey scene. And fellas, folks, if you find yourself in such a position, one of the things you got to go ahead and worry about, psychedelic world of sex workers who trip their clients. Interesting. But when you're sitting there going ahead and doing this, you got to think about things like, for instance, I don't know, terrible stories in history. Like the reason why Minotaurs came around had everything to do with King, King Minos's wife, basically sleeping with bulls, and eventually a human bull hybrid was born, right? Well, whether you're engaging in that sort of fun and recreation, or you're engaging in the traditional sense, the most important thing is you've always got to go ahead and make sure to have safe sex, right? Safe sex is the most important thing. Now, generally speaking, you're worried about disease, but nobody wants to have an unintended pregnancy. So a German inventor came up with a unique device, which must have been a spinoff from the testacuzzi because it's effectively a testicle bath. Because apparently, kids, you know, you don't want babies. Just poach your testicles and you're going to be all good. So a German inventor created a unique ultrasound testicle bath birth control device for men and took the top prize over at the James Dyson Awards. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. You mean the guy who made vacuum cleaners and, like, freaking fans? He won an award for ultrasound, but shooting some ultrasonic stuff into his testicles to go ahead and prevent birth or, you know, preventing impregnation. I mean, holy shit, man. Talk about, like, out of left field. Yes, it's got to go ahead and hurt. I was sitting there and thinking to myself, man, I remember when I had ultrasonic therapy for whiplash. It was not comfortable. So what are they going to do? You're going to go ahead and pull one of these things out like you've got some Airbud headphones, right? You open it up. It's got a cradle inside there, and you just kind of dip your balls in, close the top, and just, like, hit it with some ultrasonic frequency like you got some subwoofers or some shit inside there, and all of a sudden it's going to kill off the offensive little sperms. I'm just curious, right? But apparently Rebecca Weiss, she's an industrial design graduate from the University of Munich, and the inventor of the COSO male birth control device, she was named the award winner. And it celebrates, encourages, and inspires designers of new problem-solving ideas. Can I just say, I'm not so sure that I want to go ahead and dip my testicles into an ultrasound bath. I mean, it sounds kind of like that soy sauce challenge that was going on over on freaking TikTok for a little while there, where you'd stick your testicles in soy sauce and see if you could taste them with the inner taste buds that are all over your testicles. And I'm not sure which is more, you know, sort of like daunting and like freakish. The fact that people are dipping their testicles inside of soy sauce to taste it, or the fact that we find out that you have taste buds on your fucking testicles. I'm just kind of like, huh?
I mean, what the fuck?
I don't know which one's worse or more disturbing. But I digress. She said the inspiration for her device came after she was diagnosed with precursor cervical cancer, which has been tied to oral contraceptive pills. When my partner and I were looking for an alternative method, we became aware of the lack of male contraceptives. This problem is not unique to me personally. It affects many others as well, and made evident in the current growing discussion about the lack of contraceptive alternatives. I've got to say, listen, I'm all for male contraception, and I agree with them about that. But just stop and think about it for a second. Hey, you got precursor cervical cancer over here because you're, like, taking all of these oral contraceptives. And the first thing that comes to her mind is, you know, honey, I was just thinking the other day when they gave me this diagnosis, it's terrible that I could potentially get cervical cancer, but I got an idea to prevent it. How about we go ahead and just, like, take some ultrasonic waves and blast your testicles with them? It'll go ahead and make sure that we don't have babies that we don't want. And I'm just like, dude.
I mean, what the fuck?
Where the fuck did the inspiration for this one come from? I'm just wondering. But at any rate, she won $45,000 for this fantastic treatment. And you know something? She had a point about oral contraceptives. And of course, in this day and age, when you're looking for alternative solutions, something to go ahead and take care of the problem, take care of educating you, making you aware of what's going on, there's no greater source of, like, trash to go to. There's no greater repository of, like, cultural trash heap out there than our good friends over at TikTok. And of course, when you go to that place, what do? They say, hey, you know something? There's a pill-like thing inside of the pregnancy test. I bet it's a contraceptive. And girls are right now hammering down these pregnancy test pills, if you will, thinking that it's a morning after pill because, I mean,
what the fuck?
It's a pill. It's got something to do with getting pregnant. Why not just do that? So now videos are circulating on the website showing girls buying pregnancy tests to discover what looks like a morning after pill inside there. And they film themselves opening up the test and swallowing the tablets, but they've been warned it's not a contraceptive. So apparently they confirmed the folks that make the Plan B pill went ahead and said, we're aware of the videos circulating about the clear blue pregnancy tests and the tablet found inside, but guess what? They're not a Plan D dumbass or Plan
I
B
mean,
dumbass.
What the fuck?
So ultimately, all our tests contain a small desiccant tablet, which is included to absorb moisture and should not be eating. All I'm saying is, kids, in some ways, what you're looking at is you're looking at Darwinism in action. I mean, hell, This is another natural selection challenge. What better way to make sure that we don't pollute the gene pool than to make sure that the people who are attempting to pollute the gene pool actually don't succeed in living beyond chewing up a tablet and slamming it down their gullet? I mean, hey, man, what can I say? All right, kids, I'm going to take a break here. The show's halfway done. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché of the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening. We're going to go ahead and ease back a little bit, a little more music. We'll catch up a little bit later. I got to say, like, whenever that song comes out, you know, I really like Dicks by Bone Cage. Man, Ramsey Bolton memes should come out. Awesome to see you again, Stace. So, kids, if you've missed the show so far, I mean, we're kind of going ahead and taking a little bit easy at this part of the, at this stage of the game, because we went ahead and came out, dumped a whole bunch of stuff out there. People are otherwise occupied with Hive Fest. So it's going to be one of those nights where we're just going to kind of, you know, sort of like take it easy and stuff like that. Maybe we'll have some Richard Cheese on it in a few. But a couple questions that went ahead and popped up. Why is it that when something is actually working, someone feels compelled to go ahead and, I don't know, fuck it up? Case in point, right? Especially in the world of food. Sometimes you get people that come up with these, like, ideas. Hey, I have this dream that one day we can go ahead and merge these two flavors and they're going to taste like ass. So, like, you know, you go and you see, like, when Ramsay did his Kitchen Nightmare stuff, you had people that were creating all kinds of weird shit, and he would sit there and say, what is this dog food that you're going ahead and feeding people? Well, apparently what happens is corporate America thinks it would be great to go ahead and create dog food that they could go ahead and put out there on the marketplace and say, hey, you should go ahead and give this a try. Like, for instance, how about a Peeps-flavored Pepsi? That's right, kids. Peeps-flavored.
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, you're putting marshmallow and cola together. Can we just go ahead and get to the point here? You're putting sweet on top of sweet on top of sweet. Isn't there a little, like, other fucking contrasting things that you could go ahead and have? I'm just like, what in the fuck? So then they're like, you know what? I'll tell you what. Maybe we kind of fucked up there. You're right. Maybe it was just sweet on top of sweet. We don't have any new ideas, so we got some Cheetos that seem to be working. How about we mix some of that flaming hot Cheeto shit with, like, Mountain Dew? How does that go ahead and strike you? I mean, it's just like,
what the fuck?
Dude, let me tell you something. Knock it the fuck off already, man. If you got something that's working, stick with it. Stop trying to fuck around with it and dick with it, because next thing you know, you'll find yourself out of work again. And, you know, like we covered earlier in the show here, you might find yourself looking for a new job, kind of like, you know, the priest over here that fell in love with a satanic writer or whatever, and now works in impregnating pigs. I mean, that might be your alternative job of the future. You know what I'm saying? Or what in the hell's going on with my Discord, man? It's a good question. Or you might find yourself having to go ahead and relive those moments like Tantric Barney, you know, the one we covered earlier in the show, courtesy of the Vice article. The dude who was a former performer of Barney the Dinosaur on PBS. Who knows in the tantric sex business? If you keep making choices like this, people, where you're going ahead and mixing a whole bunch of shit that doesn't belong together, you too could find yourself standing in line trying to start your own tantric sex business, much like our good friend over here who played Barney the freaking dinosaur early in his show. All right, man, I got to go ahead and take a break here because, well, you know, it is what it is. I don't want to pop my vocal cords too early. And after all, nobody's really here because they're all over at Hive Fest. But you guys are here. It's my circle of intimacy, the people I love so much.
One of us, Google Gobble, one of us. We accept that one of us, Google Gobble, one of us.
So let's see if we can find a little offensive music to tide things over and warm the cockles of the heart. You know what I'm saying there? All right, kids, we're going to take a break. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attitude of the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening on this strange Hive Fest day. You're listening to Joculation. You know something great? Well, it's funny that you should say that. One of the things that popped up recently was I got into a conversation with somebody about the, what was it, about the infrastructure bill. And that whole crypto tax provision piece to it. And I'm curious to see what that's going to do with a lot of the DeFi platforms that are out there. Uh-oh. Am I getting into crypto talk on a show that's pretty much a throwaway show? I think so. But yeah, I'm interested to go ahead and see that because, you know, now with the requirements inside there to effectively track all of the, you know, the people's social security and personal information for transactions that are over $10,000 because, I don't know, peer-to-peer transfers, we're supposed to be tracking each other like a fucking bank and reporting it. And, you know, I'm sure that'll go ahead and work out really well with the...
How about new?
Because, oh my God, who in the hell are we actually kidding here, man? Do they even know the space that they're in? You know, it is what it is. So at any rate, man, we're just going to do a little bit more music over here. And it's kind of funny because Ron does a music song at her music show. Everybody shows up. LP does one. They all go away. Because LP, it's not about the music. But tonight it's going to be about the music. So check that out, kids. Just like that, show's going to be finished here. So let's go ahead and wrap it up. Hey, listen. To everybody that came out tonight, thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for going ahead and taking a listen to the show. To everybody that's listening over in the broadcast, over in the podcast over here, appreciate everything you're doing. Wouldn't be a broadcast or a podcast without you. So, kids, as William Shakespeare once said, all the world's a stage. As we strut and fret across the stage of life, always be sure to ask yourself why watch the show when you can be the show. This is LP Faust checking out. Catch you next time. Take care. Good night.
Thanks for checking out this episode of Joculation. We hope you enjoyed the episode and encourage you to join us for the live interactive social broadcast every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Joculation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. If you enjoy Joculation, I have another podcast you might like, Everyday Crazy. Search for them and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this right now. If you're listening over a smartphone, tap or swipe over the cover art of the podcast. You'll find show notes which may include details you may have missed and links to my Twitter, Instagram, and Patreon pages. If you'd like to hear more of Joculation and other shows from LP, in addition to extra content, early access, merchandise, and other perks, you can subscribe to my Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/LPFaust. You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram. Please be sure to follow me on Twitter @FaustLP and Instagram @LPFaust. And thank you. Joculation is created, produced, hosted, and edited by me, LP Faust. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.